12/09. We'll take a 10-minute break.
Should I have a year?
So.
From the date of application.
Yeah, from the last time you applied, you can apply again.
You can apply again.
So if, yeah.
Yeah, so that year is passed.
Can I at least get a refund for it? Because like I do.
Okay, back on the record at 12/24. For the record, all members of the board that were here prior to break have kindly returned. Proceed with case number 8, 22-286.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, counsel.
Lieutenant Doug Sobe for the issuing authority. I appreciate the board's accommodation on scheduling earlier.
No problem.
Thank you. I have with me today Detectives Fitzmaurice and Ribisal from Norwalk PD. This is Detective Ribisal.
Can you spell the last name of the detective?
R-I-B-I-S-L.
All right. Lieutenant, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, this is a suitability case based on improper storage, but on, really on the collateral facts that go with the improper storage of these weapons. As we'll detail in our case today, there was questionable and unsuitable conduct on the part of the appellant in how he handled these weapons, causing two weapons to be removed from his possession in various ways. And those occurred under dangerous circumstances, which could have allowed members of the public, pretty much anybody, children, anybody that's on the street, to access these weapons.
Thank you. Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. Which one are we referring to first?
The first one will be the, I can't guide your opening statement, but the first case will, that Detective Ribisal will address would be the one where the firearm was stolen on the way to the club. The second one will be the one that was left in the motor vehicle.
So in that instance.
This is just an opening statement, sir.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get into the specifics momentarily.
So opening statement, I'm here to address the issues at hand. I want to express full remorse and accountability. And I'm here to answer any questions and present my case.
Thank you, sir. You may proceed.
I'd like to call Detective Ribisal.
Okay.
Detective Ribisal, in your report, you indicated in about April of 2021, you investigated a stolen firearm case. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And can you briefly detail the case for the board?
The appellant was gathered with some friends of his, and they decided to take a trip to Bridgeport and then go to Waterbury from there to some after-hours club. And somewhere along the line, he stated that he pulled his gun out when somebody approached the car. And then ultimately, one of these so-called friends of his took the gun from him and then held him at gunpoint and made him drive this party back to Norwalk. We never recovered the gun. He said the gun was thrown into a storm drain. Numerous officers checked the storm drain. There was no gun in there. So ultimately, the company that he was in, several of them are known gang members in Norwalk. So he was, so basically affiliated with a dangerous group of people. And to this day, we still don't know where that gun is.
Let's go back to the beginning of the incident. Did the appellant admit to you within your investigation whether they were going to go drinking with that firearm?
Yes, they were. These girls texted them and said, "Come to this after-hours club." The appellant did not want to take his car because he was planning on drinking. It was a far drive, so instead, he got into a vehicle with his friends.
including the firearm, which, was it holstered or unholstered?
I believe it was unholstered.
So it was just in his pocket?
I believe so, yes.
And I'm not sure if he told you this or not, actually, I should know the answer to this, but was there a round in the chamber?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and then who did you identify as the main suspect in this case who relieved the appellant of the weapon?
William Polite was his name. He, in 2018, was involved in a shooting where he shot off multiple rounds at a party that was with people all over the place, shot up a car, got into a fight with a fellow gang member. This is the gentleman that the appellant states that took his gun from him.
With whom he was socializing with?
Yes, who he's known for years.
And how did the appellant describe the actual theft of his weapon? Before he was held at gunpoint.
Well, he had the gun out, holding it, had cocked it, and I guess he's stating that that startled this person, this William Polite, and he took the, grabbed the gun from him, and ultimately asked him to get out of the back seat, get into the front seat, and then made him drive while he held him at gunpoint while he was in the passenger seat.
And when they arrived at the appellant's residence or outside, somewhere around their residence, the appellant reported that it was thrown into a storm drain?
Yeah, they were back at this building that they were originally partying at. And there is a storm drain in the middle of the parking lot. And when they went back there, the appellant apparently got into words with this guy, with William, and they got physical, and ultimately this gun supposedly ended up in the storm drain. The appellant was chasing William. After they were fighting, William ran away. He chased him. He had a knife, supposedly, and he fell while he was chasing him, and then he lost sight of him and didn't see him again.
And then detectives did a full search of the storm drain?
Yep.
And
officers prior to me getting there, and then I searched it again.
Was there any like water rushing through it or anything?
No.
It was dry?
Yep.
So the likelihood, if it was thrown into that storm drain, that it would be there would be high in your estimation?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry if that was leading.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
The weapon was later recovered?
No.
It was not recovered?
No. Okay, good. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Do you find overall, in the full summary of this, the appellant's story credible that it was thrown into the storm drain?
Yes and no. I mean, the issue here, as far as that goes, is that in his statement, he said that's what happened. In one of the people that he said was in the car came in and gave me a statement and said that he thought that that happened. So that may or may not be true.
Okay. In the alternative, what could be the reasons why that story would not be true in your professional experience? I'm asking you to opine here.
Okay, so what normally happens is, and it happens all the time, it's called a community gun. So somebody in the group that is of good standing has a pistol permit, purchases a gun, friends that are gang members or want to take part in some criminal activity, he's the person they go to get this gun. A story is fabricated, whether it's kidnapping, whatever it might be, and that gun is used somewhere else.
And just for the record, we don't have any proof that that actually occurred
we
here,
don't.
But that
we
may
don't,
have been
but it has happened.
Alternate explanation.
Yes.
Thank you. No further questions from my witness.
Sir, do you have any questions of this witness?
Well, I have a rebuttal to...
We'll get to that
okay.
Next. Do you have any questions for him, though?
Do you feel eventually I was fully cooperative with you?
I do.
Yeah.
I have much less issues with your character than I do with you being irresponsible.
I agree.
questions by the board?
Was, I guess it was Main, was he ever arrested for anything?
Never found him.
Oh, okay.
So just so you know, that's the same person. William Polite.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't remember his first name.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I just couldn't remember his first name.
Yeah, I went to the house probably 30 times, unannounced and announced both. The only arrest I got out of it was his brother. So.
That's fine. I just was curious.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I haven't seen him since. We're talking 2 years now.
Thank you.
So.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none.
I'll move on. Thank you very much. Yep. I'd like to call Detective Fitzmaurice.
Oh, so we're going to go both of them and then I can. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, they go first and then you go. So this is still his case.
Thank you. Detective Fitzmaurice, can you spell your name for the record?
Sure. FitzMaurice.
Thank you.
Okay. And you also had an investigation with the appellant. Can you describe generally?
I did. Approximately 2 weeks or so after Detective Gibson's dealings with him, I responded to what was presumably a larceny of a gun out of his vehicle. When I went and spoke to him about it, he had reported it to the police and a patrol officer went out. And then I followed up. When I went to speak to him, he had said that he had gone out the night before for dinner. He came back home, ate his dinner, fell asleep, and when he woke up in the morning, realized he'd left his gun in his unlocked car. He said he thought it was wedged underneath the passenger floorboard, underneath the seat, and a little bit was stuck out, he said, because of the way the frame was mounted. He gave me a statement to that fact. I ended up issuing a misdemeanor summons for failure to store a firearm properly. I believe it was the next day, a landscaper was cutting grass and found a gun on a grassy area. It was a street, then a grassy area, and a sidewalk. Right across from that is a children's playground. And it's also a spot where school buses pick children up. The landscaper wasn't sure what to do with the gun. He brought it back to his boss. He was familiar with guns. He made it safe. Turned out there was a round in the chamber and 8 rounds in the magazine. When he checked the serial number of the gun, it was the gun that he had reported stolen. I called him back, and what he said was that he was at that location to visit a friend. He felt that the gun, he must have the gun on his lap when he got out of the car. It fell to the ground. He said that he doesn't use a holster. He didn't know any type of holster or any type of device to keep it in, so he normally had it on his lap or in his pocket.
And you say there was a round in the chamber too in the gun?
Correct.
Okay.
According to the landscape report.
And according to the landscape, I know we're getting into attenuated testimony here, but you mentioned briefly it was near a children's playground and there was a bus stop where children picked up.
Right, where the street is, it's in front of a condominium complex. Directly across the street is a children's playground, a playscape and all. And while I was there investigating, looking for video footage, a school bus happened to be right where the gun was found.
Okay. Children. All right, so anyone of them, presumably in their professional experience, could have picked it up.
The landscaper didn't.
Right, and it would have been not only loaded, but chambered, right?
Right.
So it would have fired, presumably. Did this gun have safety, or was it a...
I don't recall.
It would have been fireable on relatively short order. Was he charged in this incident?
Just the initial charge of failure to secure the firearm.
Failure to secure the firearm. Do you know the disposition of that? We have it.
I do not.
I'll ask. I have nothing further.
Do you have any questions for the witness, sir?
Given the circumstances, do you feel I did just the right thing for reporting, knowing that I knew there were consequences?
I think you did the right thing by reporting that you thought it was messing up something.
Any other questions?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, does the court have questions?
The detective, when you followed up with the appellant, that's when he changed his story, so to speak, from believing it had been stolen out of his vehicle at his residence to realizing more likely than not it was probably in his lap when he got out of the vehicle and fell out?
Right. I honestly got the impression from him that he just didn't know what had happened to the gun, and then he's like, you know what, it must have been on my lap and it fell out when I went to my buddy's house.
Okay.
And that's the impression, yeah.
And I described exactly what it was, but I was saying.
All right, sir, we're coming to you.
Yeah, okay.
Other questions? Seeing none, do you have any other witnesses?
No further witnesses.
Thank you. All right, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
Okay, so on the first incident, I'm not particularly close with these individuals. We're from like similar neighborhoods. I was about to start a new job, so they had an idea, like some girls called them up, they wanted to go to Bridgeport and everything in Waterville. So we all wanted to go in less cars. I let them know that I have a firearm on me. Is there anything illegal in the car? Because I don't want there, like, you know, get pulled over and nobody wants to claim it. So they confirmed that it was in the car. We stopped in Bridgeport near McDonald's. We recognized somebody out there talking really quick. Then went up to Waterbury. I think it was like a hookah spot they call. So as we're parking there, there was like some, I don't want to like categorize him, but like a biker guy. So that's when he approached the vehicle. I felt unsafe, so I did chamber it, and then I put it in my hoodie pocket. And then in that instant, that's when William Polite came to, I was sitting in the back seat. That's when he opened up my door and then grabbed the firearm from me. So I'm like so confused at that point. I'm like, what's going on here? He's like, oh, get in the car. And just like flipping out at nowhere. And then I didn't want to get the police involved. I just kept asking them, pleading with them just to get the firearm back. Like, what are you doing? What was the issue? And so he had me drive back from Waterbury at times with the gun to my head. And me, I'm still just pleading with him, just give it back. I have to report this. This is bad right here. We finally get back to Norwalk. We're in the parking lot. Detective Rippersill referred to, he ends up walking away. And like I'm walking after him, he stops at a storm drain, he drops it in there. And I'm like, why would you do that? And then that's when like our physical altercation ensued. He ran away and I was just like so perplexed. I was like post-traumatic stress. I'm like, what just happened? So I end up going home just thinking about like, what do I do? So I go back to the parking lot. The storm drain cover is still on there. And then I leave, I come back, and like I want to say like 20 minutes later, the storm drain is off. So I assume, because I tried to do it myself, multiple people had to pick that thing up. And then at that point, that's when I reported the firearm stolen. Officer Rubensaw came to my residence, and we went from there.
Do you
want to
talk about the other one, or?
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. I was fully compliant with the first one with Officer Rivershaw. I was hearing rumors that certain, like they were like passing it around, like I guess like
it's the term community.
Yeah, but that was not my intention at all. I don't know why he took it in the first place, and I pleaded and begged for him to give it back. And on the second one, I was with a friend. He lives in the condominium across from the playground, which Officer Fitzmore is referring to. He ordered up a taco truck. Well, tacos from a taco truck. It's probably like around 11-ish. So my friend is sitting on the sidewalk. I'm sitting in my passenger seat. And like the music was on a little bit, and I did have the fire on my lap just because like I was scared of retaliation from that first situation. Officer Rivershaw, he was going around looking for the suspects and everything, and I was getting harassed, and I was scared of like retaliation. So they called my friend. The tacos were done, so embarrassing. I was so hungry, I just hopped up really quick, walked over to the taco truck. I came back to the car, went home, and when I got home, I should have checked for it. Actually, it should have never even happened, but at that point, I should have realized. You know, I woke up in the morning, I just assumed maybe somebody went in there. But I knew immediately I had to report it because it's not in my possession. And the reason why I don't have a holster, I cannot find one that could fit any of the firearms. I came up here to Hoffman's. There's two firearm stores in Norwalk, none of them have it. And I made the order from eBay, but I didn't want to take the risk. Like, it comes in and it still doesn't fit. So I did more due diligence on my part to just figure out how to secure the firearm properly. In this case right now, there's no disposition, it's still going on. So I thought that this hearing was going to be sometime next year, but I know this nice young woman, she said that it's a tentative thing. So right now, my next court date is November 24th. Not sure why it's taking so long. I thought it would have been finished up by now, but I have a new prosecutor on it, and I have to take, I want to say, several gun safety classes, get the certificates, and then record, and I know you can be in for the disposition.
Cross?
Yes. So do you regularly make it a practice to take your gun when you go drinking?
Oh, yeah, that was not the intent. I did not intend to go drink.
You're going to the club, right? So
that doesn't mean I have a drink.
Okay, so you wouldn't have a drink.
No, I have the firearm.
Do you see the inherent problem with bringing it into a crowded space like that, into a volatile environment, right?
Definitely. Or
especially with people that, I'll rephrase the question. Did you know these people, what their records were like?
No.
What their backgrounds like? You didn't know Maine or any of those people?
I didn't know he did all that. That was my first time hearing that.
Okay. When you chose to rack the action when he approached you, if you didn't know who he is, why would you do that?
Like I said, I didn't want to categorize the guy. He looked like a biker. He's going straight to the car or something.
And do you know if that would be considered threatening, right? What do you do when you rack the action?
I didn't point it. I just did that and put it immediately back.
But what does that do mechanically when you rack the action?
It brings the round to the chamber.
Right, and why would you want to round into the chamber?
In case I was going to be threatened.
Right. Okay. Going to the second one, I don't completely understand what happened. You were ordering Thai food, it was sitting on
tacos.
Tacos. And you had, again, a round in the chamber of the gun. And it was just floating around in your lap, sitting in your pocket, right? And it fell out. Can you describe that more, exactly how it ended up on your lap in the first place? You said you were worried about other people around it. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so it was around, I want to say a little bit after 11. We were waiting for the tacos. Like I said, I was being harassed by people in the first situation. I felt like I might be like a target because of this. Mm-hmm. So while waiting for the tacos, I had the firearm on my lap. Mm-hmm.
So presumably you stood up and it slipped off?
Yes.
Okay. Did you try and recover it after that?
I didn't hear it. The music, it landed on the grass and then there was music in the corner. So as soon as he said the tacos were ready, that's when I hopped up and then we walked over to the taco truck is around the corner. And then by the time I just came back, got in the car, went home because I didn't know the driver.
No further questions.
Does the board have questions? Attorney Sinetti?
So I presume in getting a pistol permit in the first place, you took a gun safety course?
Yes.
And one of the rules of gun safety is to maintain control of your firearm at all times?
Yes.
And twice, you either had it taken from you and lost control that way, or you lost it and lost control that way. So those two pretty big violations of basic safety.
And this being over 2 years now, I definitely see all my faults. Mm-hmm. I'm using the time to control my environment, who I'm around, get the proper education for gun safety because it's very, very serious.
And then one time that gun could have ended and probably ended up in the hands of bad guys, and the other one, it was left in a place where kids could get it. But, you know, this is kind of hard for us to overlook.
I'm so remorseful because they can't take that kind of mistake back.
Right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Thank you.
Other questions? Colonel?
How long did you have your permit when the incident in April of 21 occurred, approximately?
I don't know exactly. I want to say maybe 6 months or so.
Okay. So you had your permit about 6 months. And so within 8 months of having your permit, you lost two firearms.
Mr. Greg.
How many firearms do you own?
No, those are great.
Is the second firearm in who has the second firearm? The police department?
I would have to direct that to my witnesses. Are you?
I seized it in Senate Property Division.
And then the first one is its whereabouts is unknown.
Unknown. Yep.
Any other questions? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
Okay.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Well, I didn't come here with the intention to get the permit restored. One, because I still have this pending investigation going on. Well, not investigation, a pending case. And like right now, I just want to know, like down the road, maybe like 3, 4, 5 years, say, I don't get, what's it called, like convicted or anything. Is it other steps to I guess restore it down the road?
To the extent I can't give you legal advice, and we haven't made a decision yet. But assuming we uphold the revocation, and you can always apply again. I just can't tell you what your local police department is going to do with that.
Okay, then I would just have to, so I could legally apply again. But I would just fill out, because I heard some of the cases early, like, in the past.
Okay. Very accurate, yeah.
Yeah, be careful filling those out.
So after the decision today, there won't be, like, I won't have to come back. I'll just, like, in the future, just reapply with the police department and then go from there.
Make sure you put everything on the application. Be very forthright, in including whatever the results are today. I think they asked, about that on the application as well. And then it'll be up to the issuing authority to review everything.
And just to finish up, I wanted to say, Detective Ms. Morris at Riversaw, unfortunate circumstances, but I felt like they were very professional, and I'm very fortunate that they helped me out with this. And the city of Norwalk is very good to answer.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, so the issuing authority would submit that the appellant's casual attitude to firearms ownership makes him unsuitable to possess a weapon regardless of the final disposition of the pending case. I think Detective Ribisol put it best when he said, we have no issues with the appellant's character at all, but we have issues with the appellant's responsibility and what he did in this case. And I do not think, in the state's estimation, that he should be carrying a firearm around in public. Thank you.
Okay, refactual.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation's for suitability. The basis of the denial is for two incidents. The first was in April of 21. The appellant was with several acquaintances in a vehicle, and at some point, one of the individuals he was with took the appellant's gun from him, pointed it at the appellant, made him drive back to Norwalk. At some point, the individual that took the appellant's firearm dropped it into a sewer drain. There was a brief struggle. The suspect ran off. The firearm was never recovered. The appellant did immediately report the incident. The Norwalk Police Department was somewhat able to corroborate the appellant's story, but was unable to make an arrest. Then, approximately or even less than 2 months later, the appellant reported a firearm stolen out of his vehicle. Norwalk Police Department went. The appellant reported the vehicle was not locked, and the handgun was not secured. Based on those facts, he was issued a summons for failure to secure a firearm. Several days later, a pedestrian found the firearm as he was walking to work, called Norwalk Police Department. They identified the firearm as the appellant's. A subsequent interview with the appellant sort of revealed that more likely than not, the appellant had the firearm in his lap. It was at a taco truck when he exited the vehicle. The firearm fell onto the ground. The appellant was not aware that he had lost his firearm. there was no mention of whether there was, whether those charges were amended in any case, but anyway. The appellant had, by his testimony, had had his permit 6 to 8 months when these two incidents occurred.
Thank you, Colonel. Comments by the board?
I just say there's a saying that says, don't go anywhere with a gun that you wouldn't go without one. That seems to have gotten you into the mix. And then also the safety precautions, not carrying a holster, and then the action of just cocking a firearm in the presence of other people, that where these situations could have been a lot worse. So I appreciate the your demeanor and your approach here, but it's disheartening to see repeated offenses where this happens.
Definitely. And I just want to say this was over 2 years ago. I mean, to some people that's a long time, to some people that's a short time, but I feel like I've matured a lot and I've learned a lot during this time. The hard way, but.
Comments by the board, other comments by the board?
I'd just like to reiterate, I appreciate the appellant's demeanor, and I felt that the two detectives gave very thorough but succinct testimony, and it was much appreciated.
Yeah, I have to agree, that was much appreciated, because I gotta say, I was reading reports, and I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't know the term was community gun, but that's what it sounded like, so I appreciate you coming in and explaining it, and I understand now. I'm glad you told us that, because it just didn't look good in the report, but seeing you here today is totally different, unfortunately. And I understand why the second one happened. You were very nervous about the first one, but I also appreciate you coming forward to the police and reporting them both. I understand that's a scary thing to do, but just based on what we have,
it's
a tough spot for us. Yep. All right. I don't know where I started last time, so I'll start with Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Well, issuing authority at this time. I hope that the appellant continues to take good care of himself and provide documentation of being a solid citizen with no record. And if he chooses to reapply sometime in the future, that should speak to his suitability perhaps at that time. But right now, from our perspective, two years is a short time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to uphold the issuing authority's decision.
Okay. I'm sure it's issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you.